good morning to you all. Don't be afraid. This is a Christmas message, but it continues in the I Am series very appropriately. Let's look again at a portion of that which was read, verses 57 to 59, and it will be projected. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Verily, verily, amen, amen, truly, truly. Before Abraham was born, remember, he's 33 years old, he's a kid. Before Abraham was born, I am. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, I pray that in this short time under your word, you will speak your spiritual food into our hearts. Convict those who do not know you. Encourage and nourish those who love you and your word, and enable me in my frailty to be the power of God through the foolishness of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I would like to share with you probably the most amazing truth that I personally have ever discovered in my own life. You know, for many years, I used to think that being a Christian, listen now, being a Christian was about what a person had to do. I used to believe that Christianity was a chosen lifestyle, a way of living, a discipline, if you like. And because of this, I thought that I personally could never become a Christian. I'd tried on a couple of occasions, but I couldn't live up to the demands of living a religious life. And then one day, I was told the gospel. And what I heard turned my life around forever. And in a nutshell, the gospel was this. True Christianity, salvation in Christ, is not a matter of what you must do, but on who you must believe. It's not a matter of what, it's a matter of who. And this is put so well in John 6:28, where the Jews ask Jesus this question. They say, what must we do to do the works of God? What must we do? And Jesus answers them, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, although this is clearly taught again and again in the New Testament, I never knew this. Like so many confused religious people in our world, I had always thought, because I sort of was being taught it in churches, that Christianity boiled down to certain things I had to do. I want to make it very clear this morning, no. Christianity is about believing in Jesus. From first to last, the just shall live by faith in Christ. Or as Jesus says in John 6, the work of God, the erga to theou, the things you've got to do to please God, is this. One single thing in the Greek, the plural, the singular, believe in him who God sent. Now you may be saying, but what does that actually mean? Believe in him. Believe in Christ. It's in the original grammar what's called a locative dative. I believe, pistuen en Christo. It's located in Christ. Whatever I believe is located not in myself, but in something else, in Christ. What does this mean? Well, today, in our series on the I Am sayings of Christ, we're going to look at one of the most challenging things that's spoken in the entire Bible. Jesus says here, before Abraham was born, I am. And here in this simple statement is the essence of everything the Christian gospel is all about. If you get what I'm going to say this morning, and you'll have to know in your conscience whether you get this or not. If you get this, be assured you understand the gospel. Now let's consider our text. Jesus here is talking to a crowd of devout Jewish people. And he's claiming to have been sent by the Father. But the Jews just don't believe it. Jesus then says this. He says, your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Well, now the Jews have a question for him. I mean, Jesus is saying here that Abraham knew him and rejoiced in him. And I want to remind you, Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus was even born. So they're thinking, well, hold on a minute. You whippersnapper. You young man. Look at verse 57. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And yeah, you have seen Abraham. Do you notice the sneer of sarcasm here? I mean, come on, Jesus, they're saying. You can claim that Abraham knew about you, but you're a young man. Don't be ridiculous. And then Jesus says to them in verse 58, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. And then we read, the Jews really get angry and they begin to pick up stones. They want to kill him on a charge of blasphemy. This really got the people mad. Jesus is claiming to be here, not only older than Abraham, before Abraham was born. Now that's a bit crazy. But then he goes on to say, he is the great I am. The words ego eimi in the Greek New Testament are the very words that God gives himself to Moses at the burning bush. He is claiming to be Jehovah, the great I am. And it's like waving a red rag in front of a frustrated bull. This makes the Jews so angry, they pick up stones to kill him. But we read, Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, I want us to think about this. Why does Jesus here claim to have been around 2,000 years before? How can he claim that he was around before Abraham was even born? He's a young man. How can he claim to be God? I am, when he's flesh and blood and God is eternal spirit. Can you maybe sympathize? Can you understand why the Jews got so uptight? Why they wanted to kill him when he makes this seemingly blasphemous claim? Well, you may not be a Jew this morning. You may not consider what he said here pretty blasphemous. But maybe you think what Jesus said here was, at very least, a little bit crazy. I mean, how could Jesus have seriously considered this? Jesus was not even 50 years old. In fact, he wasn't even 40 years old. He wasn't even 35 years old. Jesus is a young man. He's just come to maturity as a Jew. He's a whippersnapper in their eyes. And he's claiming, before Abraham was even born, he was around. Is that just a little bit crazy to you? Psychologists may say that Jesus was suffering from a delusion of grandeur. You know, there are people in institutions of mental health today who walk around believing they're God. I knew someone once, mad as a hatter, who claimed to be God. It's the sort of thing a mad person says, I'm God. Is Jesus maybe crazy to make this absolutely clear statement? Before Abraham was born, so I'm older than Abraham, I am, ego eimi. Is Jesus blaspheming here? Is he just plain crazy? Or is there something else going on here? Tomorrow is Christmas Day. And on this Christmas Eve Sunday, I'd like to give you all, especially the Christians that are here, a Christmas challenge. What the world considers Christmas Day out there today is Jesus' birth. Any child out there will be able to tell you, they've learned it at school, that Christmas is believed to be Jesus' birthday. Do you know the Muslims passionately believe in the birth of Jesus? It's written in their Quran. They call Jesus Isa, and Isa had a special holy birthday. They believe that. They believe he was born of a virgin. I've got news for you. The Jehovah Witnesses believe it. The Muslims believe it. The Hindus accept it. Do you know that even atheists will admit, Richard Dawkins does believe there was a historical man who was born into this world who happened to be Jesus. But the Christian celebration of Christmas time is not just about a baby Jesus being born. You've got to listen now. Christians celebrate something much bigger than the birth of Jesus. Christians believe that when that baby Jesus was born, eternity was injected into time. The eternal Word became flesh. God Almighty took the form of a helpless little baby. And we've got to understand, babies are born every day. But the birth of Jesus is something that had never happened before or will never happen again. When Jesus was born, God became a man. Eternity was fused into time. Spirit was breathed into matter. You know that old Boney M. song, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. At Christmas, God birthed himself into his own creation. Something happened to existence that has immortalized it. That's what happened at Christmas. Theologians call this the great doctrine of incarnation. And this is the wonder that Christians celebrate. Not just that a special baby was born, but that the Word at that moment became flesh. And now to get back to our text. That is why Jesus is able to make this outlandish claim that we read of today. Here's this young man, probably about 33 years old, and he's claiming to have existed before Abraham was born. This is the essence of Christianity. Let me explain it in this way. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is one man with two identities. Jesus is the son of Mary, yes, the son of Mary, but Jesus is also the Son of God. We call this amazing truth the hypostatic union. And I could put it this way. There is the Jesus who was born at Bethlehem under the time of Caesar, of Virgin Mary, 2,000 years ago. There's the Jesus who was born, but get this, there is also the Jesus who's never been born because he's eternal, timeless God. You see, Jesus is Godhead and manhood fused together into one. Jesus is the child born of a virgin called Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the wonder of Christmas. It's not just that Jesus was born. It's more than that. It is that God, when Jesus was born, became a man. Creator, at Christmas time, took on creation. And the unchanging God cannot go back on his actions. Somehow creation has been divinized. Now you may say, oh, you know, I didn't want this. I haven't had a breakfast yet and my head's spinning. I don't need all this heavy stuff on a Christmas Eve morning. Why do I need to know this? Well, let me tell you bluntly why you need to know this. Because the Bible says if you want to be a Christian, the very essential thing to being a Christian is believing and confessing that Jesus is Lord. Yeshua Adonai, Jesus is God. It's the fundamental confession of the Christian faith. You're not a Christian unless you're able to confess by the Spirit, Jesus is Lord. Only if you realize who Jesus is. Now listen, will you be able to appreciate the power of forgiveness when Jesus died on the cross? It wasn't just a nice motive, you know, a nice giving of a self-sacrificing act of love. It was a divine act, and we are forgiven because God forgave us. We will never know the wonder of who we are, the church, unless we know this truth. You see, if you don't know that Jesus is God, then you'll never understand you're the temple of the living God now. Jesus lives in you. You'll never be amazed when you read your Bible that Jesus is not ashamed to call you his own brother or sister unless you realize the one who's not ashamed is God Almighty. And this is the essential key to the Christian faith. Jesus is both God and man, born of Mary, and yet Son of God. If you're a born-again Christian today, you will know if you have the Spirit of God in your heart, that Jesus is Lord. That means your forgiveness is divinely given. Your status is indwelt with the living presence of God. And you're a brother of divinity. You're destined for divine glory. And you know what? This is what I discovered when I first realized that the challenge of being a Christian is not about what a person must do. What wishy-washy, watery rubbish many people are taught in so many so-called Christian circles when they reduce Christianity to morality and behavior. It's about this fusion that happened on Christmas when the Almighty, the one that's never been born, was born of flesh and fused eternity into our humanity. The one who was born and the one who has never been born are the one same Jesus. And the work of God, Jesus tells us in John 6, is to believe in the one whom Jesus has sent. You see it up there. Tell me, do you believe in this Jesus? Do you believe in this Jesus? The Jesus who was born on Christmas Day, and yet the Jesus who's never been born because he's always existed. This Christmas, everybody around this country will know what Christmas is all about in words. Believers and non-believers will be able to tell you that Christ is born on Christmas. You know, Muslims and atheists alike know that much. But you've got to be a spirit-born Christian to know that on Christmas, the Word became flesh. You've got to be a Christian to know that. And Jesus says here in our text, before Abraham was born, I am. And the Jews get angry, they pick up stones, they want to kill him for blasphemy. He's a 33-year-old young man, and he's claiming to be God, and he's claiming to be older than Abraham himself, their great founder. But you know, I stand up here today, and I believe this with all my heart. I know many of you do too. I am convinced that Jesus is God, born into humanity. I could put it this way. Think about this. The same I am who thundered on the mountain of Sinai when the law of God was given. The same I am that trembled the earth. The same I am that spoke from the burning bush to Moses is the I am that cried as a helpless little baby in a manger. That's the wonder of Christmas. That is what we are celebrating this year and every year as Christians. The Jews wanted to stone Jesus. They wanted to kill him for what he said here. Now, maybe this morning you don't get angry about this. You're not a Muslim or a Jew, and you know, claiming divinity is not something that really upsets you as blasphemy. But maybe in your heart this morning, you're not a Christian, and you're thinking, well, maybe he must have been a bit mad. I mean, how could he have claimed he existed before Abraham was born? How could he claim to be God? You know, that's the sort of thing they lock you up for. Or maybe the reason we're gathered here today, the reason why so many of us have had our lives transformed, is because this is true. Well, you know, whether you like it or not this morning, every one of you, if you've understood what I've said, you are now forced to decide on what you think of those words of the text this morning. Not what I've said. I'm a very imperfect messenger. But this message is essential. Was Jesus this morning, make your choice, was he blaspheming and claiming to be God? Was he an evil, despicable blasphemer? To this day, the Orthodox Jews consider Jesus a blasphemer. Or was he a little bit soft in the head? I mean, how can he claim he was alive before Abraham? Was he mad? Or is he God? Is he who he claims to be? The one who was born of Mary, and yet the one who's never been born because he's eternal. The fusion of heaven and earth. Well, you've got to make a decision on that matter before you die. It'll be the most fundamental decision you make. What do I make of this Jesus who claimed to be God and was man? Is he a blasphemer? C.S. Lewis put this so well, didn't he, in his book, Mere Christianity. Was he a blasphemer? Was he just plain mad? Or do we fall on our knees and worship the hope of all eternity? God and man, eternity injected into time. And not ashamed, brother and sister, to call himself your brother. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before you. This is a mystery no science could unravel. No philosophy could ever understand. We realize that it is foolishness, Lord, to a spiritually blind world. But, oh God, this is it. This is the reason we hope when we hurt. This is the reason we believe in life when there is death all around us. Christ was born, and eternity is fused into time. Hallelujah. We give you glory for Christmas. The great Jesus, born and yet unborn, I am. Amen. I've got a song. Who is he in that stall? Who is he? This baby. Dear Father, this is the reason we were born. This is the hope we have for when we die. You who were born are the one who has never been born. And you call us today, brothers and sisters, and we worship you. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We know, Lord, there's a lot of things people don't take seriously. But Lord, we, your church this morning, want to acknowledge the glory of Christmas. God, the Word, took on human flesh and dwelt amongst us. And God, that very Word who is flesh, took our flesh to heaven and is worshipped as our brother and is not ashamed to call us that, brother and sister. Glory to you, and glory, thank you for Christmas. Amen.